Get rolling. Before we get rolling, I just want to make sure that we welcome everyone that is watching online, everyone that's joined online, everybody that's listening to us via a podcast. No matter where you are today, all over the world, by the way, we have people that join us from all over the world. We are so thankful that you are here. And I truly believe, I trust that God is going to find you right where you are with this word today. Church, Promised Land, San Marcos, let's just welcome everybody that's watching online. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine about New Year's Eve, and he said, you know, what are you planning? What are you planning? And my response might shock you. I was like, well, sleep. You know, I'm just hoping I can stay awake. I don't know if anybody has noticed or not, but I got a little bit more gray hair than I had last year. You know, normally my bedtime's around 9:30, 10 o'clock. A fella's got to get some rest, amen. I might dream 2017 into existence. Yeah, who's with me? Anybody with me on that one? Hey, I'm not alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. You know, this message, when Pastor Robin asked me to speak today, there were so many thoughts that were going through my head and so many things that were going through my heart, and this message just found me, and the title of the message is Rejoice. Rejoice. It just found me, and it's been really stirring in my heart, so I'm a little bit nervous about how it might come out, because if y'all have met me before, I can get a little bit fired up about stuff, right? Rejoice. What an amazing word. Here's what it means, to feel or to show great joy or delight, happiness, elation, exuberance, celebration. Church, on the last day of 2016, can we all come into agreement heading into 2017 that we have a reason to rejoice today? Amen. Yeah, let's go ahead and praise Him. Yes, let's praise Him. And the best way to do that is to jump right into God's Word and just let God's Word lead us into 2017. We're going to be focused on Psalms 48. And before I get into the actual, they can go ahead and put it up, that's okay. I want to give you some context behind this. What we're seeing in Psalm 48 is we're seeing a pilgrimage. There are people that are coming back to Jerusalem, heading back into Jerusalem after a battle. See, the enemy had attacked Jerusalem, and there was evidence of an attack. But the towers were still standing. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Let's get right into the scripture. Oh God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As your name deserves, oh God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Mount Zion, rejoice. This is us, by the way, church. We're not the physical Mount Zion, but we are the spiritual temple. Mount Zion, rejoice. Let all the towns of Judah be glad because of your justice. See, the psalmist is talking directly to God there. And then there's a shift that takes place. And he starts to provide the people that are on this pilgrimage some instruction. Let's look at what he starts to talk about here. So that last scripture, let all the towns of Judah be glad because of your justice. Inspect the city of Jerusalem. Again, that's us, church, today. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls. Tour all of the citadels, that you may describe them to future generations. That you may describe them to future generations. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got a story to share. I've got a story to share. I got a testimony. Yes. Share it with all future generations, for that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and He will guide us until we die. Until we die, amen. I love how the psalmist starts that scripture, how he starts that text, because this is where it should all start. Praising and honoring and thanking God. Giving Him all of the glory, because without Him, none of this would be possible. The first thing that I want to share with you today, this morning, as we start heading towards 2017, there may have been some battles in your life in 2016, But just like in this scripture, it says, walk around and count her towers. Folks, the towers were beaten, the towers were bombed, but the towers were still standing. Rejoice because you're still standing. Yeah, yeah. And I wonder, you know, when you look at this text, I wonder if we shouldn't do what the psalmist here in chapter 48 is saying. I wonder if we shouldn't just take a walk around Zion. If we shouldn't just take a walk every so often around our life so that we can really see who God is. So that we can really see in from 2016, because that's where we're still at, what God has done in our lives. Let's just take a walk around Zion, and let's just see what God has done in your life. Walk around Zion and count her towers. To me, that's a beautiful picture. That is a beautiful, beautiful picture, because remember, there was an enemy, there was an attack. But what does this mean to you sitting here today? Well, there's an enemy, and there's been an attack. And he's not going to stop, because the closer that you get to the Father, the closer that you get to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the harder he's going to fight for you. What this means to you today is that in 2016, you may have been bombed yourself. You may have been blasted yourself. The enemy may have tried to destroy you in 2016. But if you walk around and you count her towers, yeah, the enemy tried, but you're still standing. You are still standing. Rejoice, church, because you are still standing. Now, I just got to be clear. I got to be upfront with you. I would not have to stand up here today and tell you to praise him, to rejoice in the blessing. No, I don't have to tell you that, but I do have to come up here today. I believe it's what he's called me to up here for today, to tell you to rejoice in the battle. To rejoice in the battle, because though it might be raging in your life today, even though you may be going through some stuff and the enemy may be trying to destroy you, you're still standing. You're still standing on this last day of 2016, so I want us to rejoice today for the battles. The battles that didn't beat you. Oh, they tried. They would have, but they couldn't. And here's why they couldn't. Because your battle had to reckon with a great big God. A God that was bigger than that battle. A God that was greater than that diagnosis. A God that was greater than those financial issues you've been going through. A God that is greater than that anxiety or that depression that you battle. See, your battle had to reckon with a great big God. Someone, y'all gonna have to help me preach this one today. Y'all gonna have to help me preach this one today, because today we are going to rejoice in the battle. The battle that didn't beat you. There was a war. The enemy attacked, but the war couldn't wreck you, and the battle couldn't beat you. Let's walk around Zion and count her towers today. They were beaten. They were broken, but they're still standing. Oh, man, I'm so glad y'all came on New Year's Eve. This is good. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I'm believing it's going to get better. Count, you know, it's one thing to count your blessings, but today we're counting our battles. See, I don't want you to just count your blessing. I want you to count your battles. Because here's the reality about the battle. Sometimes the battle is the blessing. Sometimes the battle is the blessing. And you might be thinking to yourself, wait a second, Thomas. Now, wait, a battle, a blessing? Have you ever noticed in the battle this overwhelming presence of God in your life, where you just get to come closer and closer to him because he's closer and closer to you? Sometimes the battle is a blessing, because we get to experience God's presence in our life in a way that the good times never could. The battle is the blessing. God, I believe, is calling us today to count the battle and consider it a blessing. Consider it a blessing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So just let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing for nothing. Let's just take a walk around Zion. Let's take a walk around our lives today and count our battles that didn't beat us. No, 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 they made us stronger. Come on, church. They made you stronger. They made you more prepared for what God has planned in your life in 2017. In 2 Corinthians, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. Oh, and listen to this. My power is made perfect in your weakness. His power is made perfect right in the middle of your battle. God gets all of the glory today, doesn't he? Yes. Because today, church, we're not rejoicing over a blessing. We're rejoicing over a battle. A battle that took place in 2016, but it didn't beat you. And I also want us to consider that, you know, while the battle didn't beat us, the beatings didn't break us. The beatings didn't break us. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. I've got to give you a little context. This is a beautiful scripture. A beautiful scripture. We've got the apostles, and the apostles are teaching and preaching the gospel. They're sharing the word that Jesus is the Messiah. And this really has the council stirred up. The council is stirred up. And what they're doing is they're considering, how do we really send a message to these apostles that this is no longer acceptable? And they're gathering all the apostles and bringing them in. And that's where the scripture starts, right here in verse 40. It says, the others accepted his advice. Now, here's what that means. One of the council members, one of the Pharisee, he had shared with the rest of the group, listen, if they're with God, if they're walking with God, we better let them go. Because then we'd be fighting with God, fighting against God. We better let them go. But if they're not walking with God, if this is just men doing men things, if they're not walking with God, let them go, because they're going to fall and they're going to fail. So he said, just let them go. And in verse 40, it says, the others accepted that advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. They had them flogged. I mean, this is one of the most inhumane things a person could possibly do to another person, to another human being. We're talking about a severe beating and chastisement. They were flogged, and then they were let go. Church, I don't know if we're ready for this next one or not, but I know my heart is. It's like beating out of my chest. Listen to this. The apostles left the high council rejoicing. Rejoicing. They had been beaten. They had been battered. And they leave the council rejoicing. Can we just give an amen for that one? I mean, they left rejoicing. How many of us would have walked out of that room beaten down the way they were beat down and rejoiced? But let's look at why. Rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Badly beaten, told to never speak about Jesus again, not to speak in his name, not to preach in his name. They rejoiced because God counted them worthy. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the message, Jesus is Messiah. See, when we go through some stuff, and we will, I know we probably have here in 2016, when life happens to us, I believe sometimes we take some of the beatings and some of the battles and we put them in the wrong place. We put them into the loss column. we put them into the defeat column. And church, I'm here today. I mean, listen to what it said there. They rejoiced because God counted them worthy to suffer in the name of Jesus. I think we need to take some of these beatings and some of these battles and put them into the win column. The win column. Because isn't it, come on church, the greatest possible compliment that God would have allowed you to go through what you went through in 2016. The greatest possible compliment. And can we also agree that what we gained was far more than what we lost? I mean, how could what we lost compared to the intimate relationship that is growing between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the middle of that battle? This intimate relationship, just drawing nearer and closer to Jesus. Put that in the win column. Yeah, life beats you up a little bit. You've probably got a scar or two to show for it, maybe even some black and blue spots. But you're still standing. Oh man, I'm preaching to somebody right now that they went through something in 2016 and they put that over there in the loss column. No. God counted you worthy. Now, church, it is one thing to say God is worthy. God is worthy, yes. But in this scripture, that's not what he's saying. He's saying God counted you worthy. See, he looked at your life. He looked at my life. And he counted us worthy to taste a little bit of a battle, to taste a little bit of some of that hardship, some of that pain, some of that struggle, some of that loss. He counted you worthy. I love that we serve a God, as great as he is, that can say, I count you worthy in all your brokenness and all your mess. I count you worthy. So, as this year winds up and we start heading into a new year, I also want us to make sure that we're not just rejoicing for the battles and for the beatings, but that we're also rejoicing for the things that seem small. For the things that just didn't seem big to you. Amen? Let's go to Haggai. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. Now, just a little bit of context here, too. I got to give you some context. Haggai is a prophet that's been called by God. He's been called by God because the workers have stopped working. And his goal, his mission that God has given him is to get them back to work. He's trying to get them back to work. And I was just thinking about that. There's something to that. See, I wonder, I'm kind of asking myself this question today, and I want you to ask yourself this question today. Am I still making progress? See, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Oh, I don't have time to preach that one today. That's a whole nother message. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And what Haggai was doing, and I love the way he did it, he was using a contrast would be the best word, or a comparison, so that he could get their focus away from the lack of progress and get their focus onto the action that needed to take place, so that they could get the temple built and get it done. And see, I think that's kind of what God is saying to all of us today. I think through this scripture, what God is going to say to us is, hey, get back to work. Get back to work. Because if you'll get back to work, I can work in you. I can work in you. See, he wants to build something in the temple. And who's the temple again? Us. He wants to build something new in you in 2017. But we got to get back to work. Now, this is where it starts to really get good as we go through this scripture here. It says, does anyone remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. You know, sometimes I think that's how I see my life. You know, sometimes that might be how you see your life or an area of your life. Maybe it's your ministry. Maybe it's your calling. Maybe it's your goals. Maybe it's your dreams. And you look at them and you go, ah, they seem so small. It doesn't seem like much at all. But he keeps going and he says, but now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Yes, we're giving out free children's names this morning at Promised Land San Marcos. If you're looking for something a little bit different, a little bit new, Zerubbabel might be the name for you. I don't know. All right, yeah, y'all can have that one for free, no charge. Zerubbabel, be strong, Yeshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people that are still left in the land. And now, get to work, for I am with you. Let's just stop there for just a second. He didn't say because it was going to be easy. See, they never said the cross wasn't going to be hard to carry. He never said that the hills wouldn't be hard to climb. He's not saying here that it's going to be easy. He's saying, because I'm with you in this. Because I'm with you in this. Get back to work, for I am with you. Look to your neighbor and say, get back to work. Because he's with you. Yes, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let's keep going in Haggai. I have another scripture here in Haggai that I think is just, it's just amazing. Haggai verse 2, chapter 19. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 19. Got a little tongue-tied there, y'all. Looking forward, going, what's this guy talking about? I am giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. Oh, that's so good. You have not yet harvested your grain, and your grapevines, your fig trees, the pomegranates, and the olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But this day onward, I will bless you. You know, I have to admit, as I was reading that, my heart was kind of jumping out of my chest a little bit. I'm thinking to myself, I've still got some seed in the barn in my life. There are some vines that haven't yet produced a harvest. Yet. Not yet. But I've got the promise now. Is there anyone in here today? You've got something in your life that just hasn't yet come to pass. Maybe a prayer that hasn't been answered yet. Maybe an unrealized dream. He says you may not be able to see it now, but you've got the promise now, even though it has not yet come to pass. Church, that is so good. That is so good. You've already got the promise, even though you don't have the proof. I can't see it yet. I can't see it now, but I've got the promise now. I can't see the proof, but I've got the promise. I rejoice. Today, church, we should rejoice because we've got the promise now. Oh, I can't see it now, but I got the promise now. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to take place, but I've got the promise right now. And we need to rejoice. We need to be thankful because we serve a God that is faithful. He is faithful. And when he makes a promise, that promise is true. He is faithful. You may not be able to see it now, but you've got the promise now. See, it'd be one thing to count the blessing after we received it, right? This is something altogether different because we've got the blessing now. Call him faithful today for his promise. Rejoice right now for the promise. And I'm going to start kind of landing this plane a little bit. There's this scripture. I've never really dealt with the Message translation much. I've never really, you know, looked into that translation much, but for some reason, God just said, hey, look at it this way. And it's the same scripture, Haggai chapter 2, verse 19. And it goes on to say that even though you can't see the proof, all right, I just got to do this. I feel like I've got to do this. I don't want you to see this with your eyes, and I don't want you to hear it with your ears. I want everybody right now just to find a quiet place. Find a quiet place and just close your eyes. Just close your eyes and just lean in. Just lean in right now. Oh, I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. Verse 19 says, even though you can't see the proof, from now on, you can count on a blessing. Oh, 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 glory to God. From now on, you can count on a blessing. I don't have to stand up here and talk to you about counting your blessings. No, no, no. Today what we're talking about is counting on a blessing as it comes. Count on it. Count on it. Just say to yourself, count on it. Today we're just standing in faith together as a church, as a family, trusting and believing that even though the seed is still in the barn, we can count on it. We can count on it. It doesn't take faith to count the blessings after they come. Today we're counting on healing. Today we're counting on a restored marriage. Counting on it. Today we're counting on that raise that we need to keep us away from that financial difficulty, maybe even a financial disaster. We haven't seen it yet, but we've got the promise now. And we're counting on it. And here's what I love about this text, because if we go back to last week, let's go back to last week and to the Christmas message. A baby was born in a manger. A baby was born in a manger while the seed was still in the barn. While the seed was still in the barn. A baby was born in a manger. We have new life. We have new hope. And even though you haven't seen it yet, salvation, restoration, transformation in the name of Jesus. A baby in a manger. Count the seed while it's still in the barn. Oh, that's so good. Count on it. Just say count on it. Count on it. Count on it. Count on it. Count on it today, church. Oh, I want y'all to preach this with me. I want you to preach this with me. I want you to just repeat after me. We're going to go through this together. Rejoice today for the battles that didn't beat you. Rejoice today for the beatings that didn't break you. Rejoice today, even though I don't have the proof, I've got the promise, and I'm counting on it, and I'm counting on it, and I'm counting on it. Amen, amen. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Oh man, I wasn't sure what was going to happen with that message. It had just been stirring around and around and around, and God was, you know, I'll tell you what I really believe. God gave me the message for me and then said, share it with them. He said, count on it. You can't see it yet. You don't know where you're going yet. You don't know what the timing looks like yet, but you've got the promise now, Thomas. And he asked me to share it with you today. That thing that you've been thinking about, that thing that you've been running towards or maybe even chasing. Just sit back and relax and count on it. Count on it. Let's go to him in prayer. God, we are just so thankful to be in your presence here today. We know that when three or more of us come together in your name, God, that you are present. We feel your spirit in this place. We lift up your name. We thank you. We praise you. We rejoice, not because of the gifts, God, but because of the giver. We rejoice because of who you are and all you've done and all that you're going to do in 2017. Yes, Lord, we have gone through some stuff. We have gone through some stuff in 2016, some battles and some beatings, but God, you brought us through. We thought there were times when you couldn't hear us. We thought there were times when we might be standing alone. But God, that's when you drew near. That's when you were at your closest. You were wrapping us up in your arms, providing comfort and peace that we couldn't understand, that we couldn't even fathom. And so today we rejoice because in those moments you counted us worthy. You counted us worthy to taste a bit of sacrifice in the name of Jesus. And Lord, today we are believing, we are trusting that even though we might not be able to see where we're going in 2017, even though we may not be able to see the timing, we may not know today your perfect will, your perfect plan, and your perfect timing, but we've got the promise now. You may be here today on New Year's Eve saying it's time. It's time to give my life, to give my heart to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I believe that today He makes all things new. Maybe you're saying, and you can just put this in your own words, Lord, I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior, as my King, Emmanuel, God with us, come into my life. Inhabit my thoughts, inhabit my feelings, inhabit my heart. Have your way in my life today, Lord. I lay it all down. I submit, I surrender, I give it all to you. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. I need you in my life, God. Not just as a resource, but as a source for hope and for life everlasting. I seek you now. Just in your own words, rejoice. Rejoice because the battles didn't beat you. The beatings didn't break you. For those things that might seem small, for the seed that's still in the barn, rejoice. He is your God. He is greater than the battle. He is greater and bigger than anything that the enemy could throw at you this year. Rejoice, church, for He is your God. Let's give Him all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 After every service, we offer prayer, we offer baptism. Maybe today is the day, heading into a new year, going in, one person coming out, someone completely new. We've got everything you need if you'd like to be baptized. And we've got pastors and we've got ushers and greeters that are here to help you. I just want to pray. I just want to just give you a special blessing, a special anointing as you walk out those doors today. Trusting that you can count on it. Walk out that door today saying to yourself that no matter what 2017 throws my way, I can count on it. Amen. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.